Love heals. I know this because I have been both on the giving and the receiving side of the healing power of love many, many times. And I have also learned that when love is shared, it offers healing to both people at once. The first time I experienced the power of love to heal made a very deep impression on me. I was in college, and I was serving as a camp counselor at the high school church camp that I had attended as a teenager. One of the campers was having a really hard week. He was a nice boy who was awkward and had some difficulty in social situations. It was hard for him to make friends. On Thursday, the last night of the camp, one of the other counselors came running up to me, breathless. It seemed the boy was in an agitated state and was threatening to walk back down the mountain, a three-hour drive, to his home. The boy said he only wanted to talk to me. Me? When I found him, he was highly agitated. He was pacing and talking rapidly and telling me just how stupid and annoying all the other kids were. I matched his pace, and I tried my best to calm him down with platitudes and reassurance, but the more I talked, the more upset he seemed to get. It was getting late, and I was clearly not having any luck. I began to feel a little bit panicky. I was this kid's last chance, and I was out of ideas. So I did something that I had never really done before in my life. I prayed. In my mind, I simply said, "Help, I can't do this. Help me." And then a very unusual thing happened. Words came out of my mouth that I did not consciously form in my brain. I opened my mouth and heard words tumble out as if somebody else had spoken them. I remember being as surprised as he was at what I said. It was pretty good. He stopped pacing, and he listened. And then I got the clear and undeniable message that this boy was tremendously lonely. He was suffering because he was touch-starved and feeling totally disconnected and isolated from everyone else at the camp. I knew immediately that what he needed more than any words was simply a hug. I offered, and he hugged back really hard. And after a few moments, he began to cry. I held him. He cried more. When his sobbing subsided, we began to hear singing coming from the campfire circle. And I suggested that maybe we go and sit there in the back together. He agreed. After a few minutes, he asked if I would mind if he moved up closer and sat with some friends. After another few songs and the tearful testimonials from camper after camper about what this week had meant to them, this kid stood up and shared his own story. And several other kids spontaneously came and stood with him, put their arms over his shoulders. They all cried. I cried. He was restored to himself and to community. Love heals. And what I mean by that is that it creates the necessary conditions for emotional and psychic healing to occur naturally. Whether it is in the arms of our beloved or on the phone with our best friend or in a therapist's office, being held in a state of love offers us the space to examine our interpretations and to feel our most tender, our most upsetting, our most sorrowful feelings, knowing that we will not be judged. In the release of these tightly held emotions, our heart softens and opens. Love is the highest vibration of life force energy. It's the frequency of high truth. Love's beams permeate all falseness, correct all errors, and when we allow them to enter into us, they miraculously harmonize us, restoring us to our highest and best selves. When we go too long without feeling love's warm rays, we begin to wither. Love keeps us juicy. Without it, we get a little crispy around the edges and become rigid and tough. We start to imagine that we are separate from others, isolated and essentially alone. And this leads to sadness, anxiety, and depression. We look to substitutes for the good feelings that love brings, and we become addicted to food, to alcohol, to pills. We in this culture do not understand the nature of love. We think that we have to meet a special person in order to access love. But love is all around us all of the time. It's like trying to describe water to a fish. We move in love, we breathe in love, we buy groceries and we go to the bank swimming in love. Love is alive in all of these other people sitting here with you this morning. It is alive in all living things, in beauty. Getting more love is not the problem. The problem is learning to receive the love that is already here. Think of it more like radio waves, or an updated analogy, wireless internet. Love is always here. We just need to attune to the right frequency to connect to it. The reason that you and I do not feel as loved or as loving as we are fully capable of is that we have created barriers to love. Life teaches us to guard against being that open and permeable. You protect yourself as a child and as a teenager from the pain of being hurt in love and the pain of death of those people who we have relied upon as a source of love. And we contract. We close our hearts to protect our most tender selves from being hurt. We grow afraid of the power and the potency of love. William Blake said, "We are placed on this earth for a little space of time to learn to bear the beams of love." Again, I think the problem is that we are confused about the way love operates. We believe that another person is the source of love. We say, "I love you," as if I am the one doing the loving. And then when the other person inevitably fails to love us exactly the right way, our feelings get hurt and we close down a little. It was such a relief when I finally understood that people with all of our imperfections are not the source of love. We do not generate love in our hearts like a little love factory. The source of love is beyond us. It transcends us. And when we open our hearts like a channel, like a conduit, that allows the love energy to enter and move through us. I now believe that no matter how closed and tight your heart might feel, you can make the decision and set the intention to open to receive love. And that is all it takes. I so clearly wasn't the source of love for that boy at the camp. I was the channel that love used to reach him. When I asked for help, when I said, "I can't do this," I was intentionally inviting love to work through me. I was getting my small self, which had no idea what to say or do, out of the way, so that love's wisdom had space to come pouring out my mouth. Love itself told me the kid needed more than anything to feel held in deep and abiding love so that his heart could open again. And I was simply the messenger. You and I can be messengers of love for one another. That's the beautiful thing. We can become love's helpers, working miracles, opening hearts, healing emotional wounds. All we have to do is decide to soften, to open our hearts, to trust love, to do the work. We are here, after all, to learn to bear the beams of love. So let us. I love you. Amen.